think one of the most humbling parts of spiritual growth or unfolding is that after years and years of trying to learn how to have a spiritual life, the only thing you learn is that you have to let go of learning. It's really all of what we've learned that keeps us locked into a kind of mental expectation of what we're doing. And in a certain sense, everything we understand is false. What it comes down to, in the simplest sense, is that it doesn't add up to knowledge. It's something else. It's sort of like when I was a kid, I suppose people still do this. We had all these books on sex, which I devoured as a 12-year-old. And of course, nothing you read or understand about sex ever equals the experience of sex. And yes, you can talk about it all you like, but no words ever capture the orgasmic. And spirituality is exactly the same thing. You can read about it as much as you want. You can try to understand it. You can think about it. But nothing equals doing it, being it. I think what has really gripped me recently was this understanding of how clueless most of us are, or certainly have been in our lives, about just about everything. We keep thinking we have a handle on it, and then we realize that the handle doesn't hold anything. That the real genius of spiritual work is the not knowing, the willingness to not know, the willingness to let go of every instinct in you to get it. Because no matter how profoundly we are able to express spiritual content, nothing expresses it like living it. And in a sense, you have to live it according to your own deepest nature, which is not anybody else's nature. You may think it is, but it isn't true. We each have our own path to, if you will, the orgasmic. We all have our own path. And it's a path that bypasses reason, understanding, mind. It's something the body knows and we don't. It's something the psyche knows and we don't. The soul knows. And the only way to go there is to go there. Enter it. Be available to it. Sit in its presence. Watch the journey. Those of you who've been sitting now for a long time have a much clearer sense of what I'm talking about. Because when you sit down and just sit, a whole series of predictable responses emerge. And pretty much at this point, you know them, some of you better than others. And it really is about a kind of unfolding. You start to watch all of the old entrapments, all of the old dialogues, all of the old patterns. And you know them. And therefore, like any good student, you don't have to learn it again. Once you know the alphabet, you don't have to sit down every time you write a letter and go A, B, C, D. It just isn't necessary. You've passed that. And when you sit down spiritually, you don't have to do the basics. You just sit and you enter into all of the configurations that are known and you let them go. You just let them go. You go beyond it and beyond. And every class, you will come to something, usually, that is new and unexpected, and you don't know how to deal with it. And your reaction to that will probably be the same reaction you've had 500 million times before. Uh-oh. What am I doing wrong? What's that? How did I get there? I'm no good. I never could do spiritual work anyway. Whatever your thing is that meets the unbelievable resistance of the unknown, of the unexpected. And then that's your work. That's where you go for the day or for that moment. And you look at this place and you try to look at it with as much dispassion as possible. And if you are really doing the work, what happens is you enter into this very unexpected, unknown space and you learn it. The early reaction, early in your spiritual work, to the unknown space is hightail it out of there. Go the other way. Don't want to deal with that. But the great lesson that comes after many years of practice is to go counterintuitively, to go to the very place that you don't want to go, to enter into the very thing that is putting you off or frightening you or telling you don't go here. Because the deeper you go into your own psyche, the more you will begin to enter into the areas you have most avoided in your life. The buried stuff. The stuff that drives you even though you don't know it's there. And it's only by allowing that to happen, by stirring the pot, if you will, and seeing what starts to come up, that you really, really begin the drive toward great awakening. Most of us do not want to stir that pot. Most of us do not want to know what we don't feel we need to know. I'm fine. Life is fine. You know, if I don't do this and don't look there, everything is cool. And so you end up having a life lived on top of a kind of cauldron of unexplored tension, which feels fine until you have to face it. If you do what most people do, you just turn away and live the life of the unconscious psyche, unexplored. The problem with that, and the danger in that, is that at the end of your life, you have to go through all of this stuff. Not only do you have to go through it, it is the first thing that will arise. The very thing you have been capping, holding down, avoiding, not entering in yourself, is the very thing that has the most power. And so this is the life opportunity to know yourself, to enter into what arises when you sit still. Now, a lot of you know that when you sit still, there are times where nothing arises. It's just beautiful and simple. Clarity, openness, joy, love. Bask in joy. It's a wonderful thing. It's a truly wonderful thing. But either at some point you will sit there and something will grab you, or life will lead you to this thing that will shock your system, or you will sit there and you will find, what's that? Or, uh-oh, something really powerful and dense within you. Everything you've been doing all these years in your practice is learning to go deeper. Learning to go deeper is what will allow you to enter the thing that presents itself to you, whatever that is. I am always surprised in myself at how much stuff is still there. Because you really think at some point, well, I've done it. I've explored it all. I've touched it. I've tasted it. I know it. It's not a surprise anymore. And then, boom, out of left field, surprise. This is not a bad thing. This is the gift of spiritual practice. The gift of knowing oneself. The gift of self-exploration. The gift of knowing how vast you truly are. I've talked to a lot of people. A lot of people write me emails asking spiritual questions. And what hits me more than anything is how long the journey is from those early questions to the place of not knowing. There is such delusion in the spiritual journey, such a pursuit of fantasy and romantic idealism about what spirituality is. I see people who are truly stuck in this idealism, truly stuck in the process. I see people afraid to move forward. And I watch just how long this process can be for people, and where people stop working, and where people live in their delusion. And it's amazing to me, because you can go there for a lifetime or 20 lifetimes or longer, thousands. You can really get stuck in spiritual practice. The only way to keep this unfolding alive is to have an amazingly willing intent to open and to meet the moment. To meet the moment in your daily life, to meet the moment in your spiritual life, and to meet it with great courage and with great willingness to accept what is. At some point, you really begin to be aware of the divine in what is. That what is being brought into your life, as weird and strange and unexpected and off-putting as it sometimes seems, is the gift. It's always the gift. And when you start to really say yes to this arrival, to what emerges within or what comes at you from without, and you accept the possibility that it brings up, that's when you begin to make conscious choice and you begin to have conscious flow in your life, and you really go through this evolutionary process of transformation that allows you to escape the unbelievably sticky qualities that exist in most people's journeys. But you just have to be willing to look and examine and open and let go over and over and over and over. And if you can do that, if you begin to do that, the progress you make is so subtle and so simple, but it takes a whole life to do it. There is a great brilliance to the design of human life. Because once you resolve the issues of being 5 years old and the issues of being 10 years old and 20 years old and 30 years old and 50 years old, once you've resolved those issues and you think you're master of the universe, you become 60 and you become 70 and 80, and it's got to be done all over again. Because the issues of 50 are very different than the issues of 30. The issues of 65, in my case, are very different than the issues of 60. It's an amazing, amazing thing that takes place. It's programmed in. And either you engage it consciously, or you walk through life denying it all, learning nothing, and end up at the final moment with absolutely no idea where you've been, where you're going, or where you are. The only way to the answer of those questions is to awaken now to this moment. And to do your best. And to be vigilant and consistent and real and honest with your practice. The best thing a teacher can do is remind you of this. A good teacher probably inspires you to do this, or just remains a kind of beacon of somebody who's doing it or trying to do it, which helps you do it as well. So I really want to encourage and inspire you to keep this journey alive, keep it central, let each moment of it teach you what it wants to teach you. And by the end of it, to the degree that there is an end, it will be known. Any questions? See you next week.